Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, hello. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Midweek Rub. Joey back in the chair with Daisy, Damo, and Duck. You're interstate this afternoon. Duck, where are you?
Yeah, g'day, boys. Oh, by the way, congratulations, Joey, on the birth of your little daughter.
Thank you very much, little girl Florence.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. Well done. Yeah, no, I'm in Adelaide. Every now and then they invite one of their greats back to the city. So I played a State of Origin game for South Australia. I'm a Wagga Wagga boy, but I'm semi-South Australian because I did spend time here as a kid and also played for the Crows for a couple of years. And yeah, so they're very happy to have me over here.
You also got selected for the Allies about 4 years in a row, Duck, and you never played from memory.
No, that's right, because, why would you play for a combined team?
Mm. How many State of Origin games did you play?
Only about three or four. Yeah. Got named captain every year, Joey, but just...
Chose to sit out.
Figured that the North Melbourne duties were a little bit more important.
And back to the original question, what are you doing in Adelaide?
Taking
and weaving over there, Duck.
I'm over here for a bit of work.
Very good.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. How's your week been, Daisy?
It's been pretty busy, Joey. Lots of footy, lots happening. Moved house. Got Chafe on the weekend playing golf, and I'm off to Warrnambool tomorrow. So it's all happening in the world of Daisy.
Are you taking the plane to Warrnambool, or are you going to drive?
No, I'm taking the plane, please. Of course you are. I don't drive.
So speaking of getting Chafe playing golf,
yes,
which is, that's a fact, that's actually true, you did get Chafe. How are you going to go playing a game of football? Because I see this week you are playing for Ballan.
I've been calling it Ballan all week. So.
Ballan?
I'm not sure.
Well, it's your team, so what are you calling them?
We'll go with Ballan.
What's their nickname? The Ballan what?
The Blues.
The Blues, the Ballan Blues. So you're playing a game of footy this weekend. Lacing them up.
I am.
You're nervous?
I am a little bit. Yeah. I went for a kick of the footy the other night with a mate down the park, and I just said, I'll hit out of the goal square a couple of times. You just spot me up. And the first one went about a foot over my head, and I thought, I'll just, hover off the ground nicely, and I nearly tripped over because as soon as I'd left, I nearly hit the ground again. It was a bit like Josh Bruce on the half-forward flank, just completely forgot where the ball was. I didn't quite have the same result in my shorts, though.
Are you going to train with them? Are you going to go down and train or just play on the weekend?
Absolutely not. I'll be there Saturday, and I'll be... The game's the sort of the entree. We got the sportsman's night afterwards. That's where I've promised. I can't deliver much on the game. I'll do my very best, but... Hang around for the post-match
show. So is this
a
labour of love, Joey?
Yeah, it is. I'm just going down there to help the footy club out.
Really? I'm not buying this. I'm actually not buying this.
No,
I think they're buying you, aren't they? They're buying your services
for the day. And they're good services too.
You know you have to put on a show on the field. People are coming to the game that watch Daisy Thomas put on a show like he used to. So you do know that.
Well, I said to the man that I spoke to down there, I think he might have been the president or the coach or someone. I said, I'm playing exclusively out of the goal square. I'm not leaving the 50, and I'll leave for two reasons. If I'm puffed or there's a fight inside forward 50. And he laughed, and I said, I'm not joking.
Duck, you were involved in one of these games going way back, and didn't you ping a calf in the first 90 seconds?
Did you play some local footy?
No, I didn't. I played one game in Queensland.
Yep. And you pinged the calf?
And I did. I pinged the calf, and when I came off, the journalist asked me, well, what does this mean for your career? I said, mate, it was a one-off game, dingbat. I'm now retired again.
I
couldn't believe the question that he asked me.
That's a silly question you asked, Damo.
I played two games of footy, Daisy, when I retired. I played two games.
You were down at Ararat.
Yeah, Ararat.
I was meant to play for them on Good Friday.
And I was rooted at halftime, knackered. So just my one bit of advice is pace yourself. Don't go too hard too early because your fitness isn't quite the levels it used to be.
You're right.
Didn't you start bike riding last week?
Though? No, I bought the bike. It hasn't come yet. It's got to come across from Perth. And it's taking a while. I'm not sure if they're riding it across.
Well, the only bike you wanted was in Perth.
Yeah, well, there's a demand for bikes, Damo, because everyone's on the fitness kick at the minute. So the great giant bike that is too, or Giant Ormond, if you need a bike, do yourself a favour, get down there. And, of course, Joey, I'll be wearing the Adidas boots on the weekend. And speaking of golfers,
right,
tailor-made.
Hey, plenty of footy to talk about. There was plenty happening last week, plenty happening next week, Damo. We want to get to your footy news after this because, as always, plenty happening in the world of footy.
This is the Midweek Rub.
You watch me today. This will be one of my best performances.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusively to the listener app. Daisy, Damo, Duck and Joey here. And Damo, bit of footy news going around. And let's start with a little bit of tribunal news from the past couple of days.
Look, I don't know what you guys thought, but I'm now as confused as I usually am at any given stage of a season with the judicial system at the AFL, match review panel, and also the tribunal. When I refer to the judicial system, I felt that what they did with the Bailey Fritsch getting off that charge of his contact with the elbow to Tom Powell of North Melbourne, it just, to me, it puts it back into the zone that there are certain acts that you can do, even if they are footy acts, that are acceptable under the system. I felt the Paddy Dangerfield one back in round one was going to be the blueprint for the year. I know they're very different incidents and very different actions, but ultimately we've now, as of round seven, Joey, the way I read it anyway, and others, I'm keen to get the other views, is there are certain examples, certain times on a footy field where it's okay to use your elbow to hurt someone else.
Yeah, I must admit, it surprised me. I'm one that, you know, likes to defend the players more often than not. It is a split-second game. But I did feel that was a one-week suspension. I don't know how they couldn't say that it was still careless. Despite having the ball, you can still be careless when you've got the ball in your hand. I thought that action was careless. It was dangerous. And he hurt Tom Power. So I was really surprised that he didn't get a week.
Yeah, I was a bit surprised too. Yeah, sorry, Duck. I'll jump in. I just thought he was, you know, as you said, he did obviously didn't try and really hurt the bloke. But that sort of action, the forearm, it's not a natural footballing motion. If you did the, you know, the Dusty Martin fend off and you got him in the throat with an open hand, well, and then it's high. I say then it's careless, but well done to them for getting off. And it, as you said, it just confuses us more now with cases going forward.
Yeah, I totally agree. Once again, confused. I thought that there was a real line in the sand, and that once again that line has been moved. And I think he's very lucky. And you're right, Powell did get hurt, but could have been seriously hurt. I mean, the raising of the elbow, he was going, he had velocity. So I think very lucky. And I'm like you, Joey. I tend to lean towards the player always. But even 1 week, I thought was probably light. I thought it probably deserved two, to be honest, given what could have come from it.
Yeah. So that, you know, the players that get done now for sling tackles and they then go on and say it's as much the action as it is the outcome, this is where the confusion lies, because now it's more about the outcome when you strike someone.
It should always be, and I've been saying this for I don't know how many years, it should be the action, not the outcome.
Yeah.
Because some people have hard heads and some don't. So if we want to send the right message, then punish the action.
Yep.
And there's luck involved, isn't there? I mean, there's luck between breaking a jaw and just having a sore neck by, you know, millimetres.
Millimetre.
And, you know, like, so it is a good point.
Yeah.
The Paddy McCartan one as well. Daisy, do you touch on that? Well, 5 weeks he got for the hit off the ball?
Again, you're sort of outcome-based. Yeah. The motion, and it wasn't the greatest footage of from wherever that was taken there. The cameras weren't as good as AFL level, but the action itself, you know, the big swingy arm, roundhouse, haymaker sort of setup, didn't look great, and then you get 5 weeks for it. You know, you think of what did Danger get in the first one for a
he
bump?
He got three.
He got three, so, you know, that's a bump in a sort of footballing motion. The outcome's a lot worse, so he gets three and five for this.
Yeah, again, it was based on the outcome, wasn't it? If you had knocked him out, you would be looking at the 6 to 8 weeks that everyone was thinking. But because Black, he stumbled, he went off the ground for 5 minutes, came back on, played the rest of the game, I presume they've taken the outcome into consideration, that he was able to play the game out, and that's why they came to 5 weeks.
Yeah, out of character, obviously, for the big fella, and I think frustration. And by the way, that's not to condone what he actually did, but I mean, it really is. We've never seen anything like that from him before, and I sort of feel for him a bit. And I know he deserves the 5 weeks, no question about that. But I just feel for him because he's on the way back, and clearly that is something that, you know, I just never thought you'd see from him, given his history with concussion and everything else. So that's it's disappointing, really disappointing, because he's trying to make his way back to play footy again. He's been through so much that guy.
He has, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, Jamara Ugle-Hagan, I just want to direct a few questions your way, given that he's yet to play a game. We're talking on this Wednesday of this particular week, 7 rounds into the season. Don't need to address the Luke Beveridge-Ronnie Lerner exchange of last week, but more just the expectation on a kid who was number one draft pick, who does want to embrace every part of the game, and that's off-field as well. And he's not the first teenager to enter the system to want to be like that. But what have you observed just in passing? Because you wouldn't have been expected to watch too many games at VFL level. But do you like what the Bulldogs are doing? They're preparing him to succeed. They're Luke Beveridge's words. And is it just come a time, though, when you just got to unleash a bloke who is as talented as he is?
Well, my understanding is what gets you by at VFL level is talent. And that's, you know, he clearly shows enough talent at that level. But my understanding is he's not up to AFL standard with his fitness and the way he goes about training, et cetera, et cetera. And I guess what Bevo's doing is one, he's setting an example for the rest of the group and saying, I don't care how much talent you've got, whether you're the number one pick or you're the, you know, fourth round number 76 pick, that if you meet the requirements that we set, then you will play footy. And clearly he's not meeting those requirements, and that's why he's not being played. It's not because he hasn't got the talent to play. It's because he's not meeting, as I said, those markers that they have to meet to play.
And I don't really like the commentary about what he's doing off the field in terms of, you know, being on social media and that. He obviously goes out with Mia Favola, and that doesn't give anyone a reason to not be playing senior footy. That's just an out that the media can jump on. He's not out on the piss every weekend, you know, till 5, 6 a.m. like some young players do when they come. He seems like, yes, he's out there and showing off his life on social media, but these are the ways of the times at the minute. Mm. So I think that conversation should stop pretty quickly. But to the point of Bevo setting an example, saying, no, we don't care if you're talented. You will do it our way. You will meet the standards that we require you to be at before we play you. Because otherwise, over a 10-year career,
yep,
you just start to get away from things, and then it's, you know, what's good for one is good for, you know, not essentially everyone else as well.
I hear what you're saying about the social media side of it, and I agree with you. I love kids coming to the game as he's doing and is being himself, but it is part of it, Days. I'm not saying it's the main part of it. It might be 1%.
But why is that a part?
No, I'm talking about it's part of the reason he hasn't played a game yet. It's part of the lack of getting to 100% of what he can be on and off field. It's all part of it.
So you're saying if he stopped going on Instagram, he's more of a chance to get a game?
I'm not referring to Instagram. I'm referring to his off-field ways. And off-field ways can also be preparation for a game,
okay,
preparation for training. There's little things he needs to dot the I's on and cross the T's on. And Again, don't get me wrong. I'm not shooting down what you're saying there. I am saying, though, that it is part of the wider conversation around him.
We do need to still encourage 18-year-old kids to, when they have a moment, to just live their life a little bit rather than going home and sort of sitting there.
I just want to add as well, the game's littered with talented footballers that weren't great trainers at the start of their careers and became great trainers and became great players.
Yep.
So clearly that's just the message that Bevo's trying to send him. He wants him to be one of those players that I'm talking about.
This will hold him in good stead for having an amazing career. And it's not hurting the Western Bulldogs at the moment. They don't need him. They're flying as it is. This will hold him in good stead in the long run, and he'll be a better player for it.
And a real opportunity for an older head down there at the Bulldogs who does train well to take him under his wing and really set him up from a professional and standards point of view and say, hey, mate, this is how we go about it. And I'm sure that would come back and be thanked later on in his career.
Damo, before we have a look at previewing the games this weekend, just want to touch on one game, North Melbourne v Collingwood. Is this North Melbourne's grand final? Is this their big opportunity to sort of do something out of the season and take down Collingwood and have like their one big win for the year?
Well, they lost 14 of their last 15 last year, and they've lost all 7 this year. So a win's got to have to come at some stage. Historically, even Fitzroy in its last year got a win of football. So it may well be this week. Look, the reason I wanted to flag this game, Joey, it's not from a North perspective. It's more a Nathan Buckley perspective. And I'm not a doomsayer on him. And I've had my opinions on him. We all have on this program and other outlets. But as you know, and as we all know, the narrative can change very quickly. And for Collingwood and Nathan Buckley, it will change quickly if indeed that win that we referred to with North Melbourne comes this week.
Why?
Because
why
then
does it change internally?
Then there will be 1 win and 7 losses.
But why does that change their view on Nathan
because
Buckley?
Because football clubs then panic and decisions.
Yes, that's the key.
And then the supporters have their say.
They crumble to external noise, external pressure.
They always do. They can tell us they've got a time frame and they're not going to budge from it. But they're making phone calls now. And if they're not, they should be. So forget trying to determine the time frame upon which they're going to do it. If a loss happens this week, they will have no control over a time frame.
Duck, you got a view?
Yeah, I wrote an article about it on Friday, Joey. You probably would have been busy, but my view on it is, why don't they just sign him now? They're not going to find anything more about Nathan Buckley. They know who he is. They know how he coaches. He's not going to be a better coach in 10 weeks. So either re-sign him now or put him out of his misery. I'm of the belief, unless they can get Ross Lyon and or Alistair Clarkson, then I'm re-signing Nathan Buckley.
How many years would you sign him for?
I'd a couple. I'd say there's another couple of years. Is there a better coach in waiting than him? Now, of course, there's the great unknowns. We know that there's assistants that haven't been tried. And maybe there is, you know, two or three unbelievable coaches that we don't know of. But in saying that, are they better than Nathan Buckley?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Damo. So we're talking about signing Nathan Buckley or not signing him. Is it incumbent on a club to scour who's available before they make a decision on Nathan Buckley? So to Duck's point, if there is a better coach available, it might help them make their decision if there's not. So is it fair to be making phone calls and trying to get a bit of view of which coach may be available?
To use a term now that we have used in sport, they're derelict in their duties if they're not. Yeah. And I say that because he's now in his 10th season. If it was a contractual situation where he's come off a grand final as he did in 2018 and then losing a prelim final the next year by a kick, you don't need to scare the market. You've got him. But the way the world works, they had an awkward year last year with COVID. They've had a bad year this year, and he's had 10 years. So, yeah, they do have to. And Doug, one other name I want to throw in here, and I know you were talking about the unknowns. Just quickly
on Bucks, let's not forget. So a kick from winning a grand final, a kick from a grand final, and then a win in Perth last year in the finals.
Yep.
And yes, they're having a bad year. Number of reasons why they've lost depth, which is out of Nathan Buckley's control. We know that. We've spoken about that in the previous weeks. So a lot of these decisions and what's going on with this footy club right now is not Nathan Buckley's fault. Now, yes, they're having an off year. I am a believer that Collingwood, and I know we raided their lists last week, but I am a believer they've still got a middle rung of talent. Can they bounce quickly? Well, the question for you, Damo, and I heard you last week on the Saturday Rub say that they're in all sorts of trouble still with their salary cap and et cetera, et cetera. So will they be able to get a Caddy, Nan Curvis and a Prestia in one go? They probably can't. So if that's the case, we are not talking about a reset. We are talking more of a rebuild.
As you said at the minute, though, Duck, do you think that Bucksy's getting the best out of those players? Because you see how they play on the weekend. You see a Gold Coast side that isn't that young anymore. It seems that their middle 6, 7, 8 players had a lot better and a bigger impact on that game than Collingwood's middle tier.
I look at effort, and I think the players are still playing for Bucks. I think the effort's still there.
You have your doubts on that, don't you?
No, I couldn't cop really what I saw on the weekend, to be completely honest. So I thought that was a game, historically, that football club.
Gold Coast are better than you think.
They are, but I would think, all things equal, that Collingwood, in the position they were in, all things equal, and I know that doesn't mean for anything, but just going back from my Pies heart, supporter hat on, you wanted to see a big statement, a big response, and it just didn't come at any point.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's Bucks' fault. I feel the senior players have lost hope on this season, and I've been through it when you lose hope as a player, as a senior player, you just drop away ever so slightly. You're not as fanatical and as diligent as you are if you think you're playing finals.
And you're saying that's not a reflection on what you think of the coach.
That's Buckley's biggest challenge now, is to try and get his senior players out of their funk and what's their purpose and what they're playing for. Yeah. But I'm not sure, and a bit like that it's Nathan Buckley's fault that he's not getting the best out of this playing group at the moment. I think there's a lot of other things going on.
They're not far off an old school piss up, I reckon, Joey.
That might be something they do need. The old school, let's go out for dinner and have a few drinks
absolutely.
Relax.
Absolutely. 100%.
Now we're talking duck language.
They had four guys under 10 games on the weekend. And by the way, let's give the Gold Coast a little bit of credit here. I mean, we all talk about Collingwood and how bad they were and blah, 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 but the Gold Coast are an improving team. What a great effort it was for them to come to the MCG in front of, not a big crowd, but 27,000 or whatever Collingwood supporters and have a win like they did. Give them a tick rather than talk about the Pies all the time.
Yeah, we can chat about the Pies all day, but after this, we want to speak to Duck and we want to get the Duck Dive Quick Five.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Most teams that I've been in have all been pretty good.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusively on the Listener app.
On the Midweek Rub, it's time for Duck Dive.
I'm good from the waist down.
Quick Five.
Righto, Duck, we want your first thoughts. You haven't heard these questions. As always, you'll give us an honest assessment and then the boys can chime in if they've got a view. Question one, which team do you believe is closer to a premiership, Carlton or Essendon?
Oh, good question. They played on the weekend, obviously. I'm going to say Essendon.
Essendon? Damon? Yep. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd go with Essendon. But when you catch that question about who's close to a premiership, I don't see either of them get anywhere near one.
Only because the Blues have let me down so often. They were good on the weekend, by the way. What a great game of footy it was. They were very good on the weekend, the Blues. And I tipped them to play finals this year. I don't think they're going to do that, even though they won. But I love Essendon's young talent.
Essendon could play finals next year.
I've fallen in love.
It's a combined 45 years since one of them has won one. Okay. Yeah,
how good is young? I know we're all
Harry
talking
Jones?
About Cox, but how good is Jones?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Archie Perkins is going to be some sort of player too.
Yeah.
So.
I'm really loving the Bombers at the minute, and I know they lost.
All right, next question. Another slight Carlton angle, but if Carlton can only afford to re-sign one player, who are they re-signing? Harry Mackay or Sam Walsh?
Ooh. Oh, good big guy is better than a good little guy every day of the week.
Wow, I thought you'd go down that path.
Yep.
Daisy, if you could only re-sign one Carlton player, they can only afford it, they can only afford one. Harry Mackay or Sam Walsh?
Midfielders are
pickle. Thanks, that's two good questions in a row.
Dime a dozen midfielders.
I had plenty of time last week.
It's a good question by you making it Walsh and not Cripps.
Yes.
Because I think it's easier if it's Cripps.
Damo, what about you?
Yeah, I'm taking the big boy too.
You're taking Harry Mackay over a future Brownlow medalist.
Yeah, Sam Walsh is an...
I know how silly that sounds, but that's what I'm doing. Come on.
Have a defense. Come on, Dace.
Sam Walsh, just because he's a nice kid. Not that Harry Mackay isn't, but...
slap. Question three. While we're on the topic, this is now Collingwood. Would you trade Jordan DeGoey?
Would I trade him?
Jordan DeGoey.
He's tradable.
He's tradable. Would you trade him?
Not at the minute. Not at the minute, but he's tradable, yes.
Do you think they're going to get some talent back in the place? Because you probably get... Another quality player plus a steak knife and maybe a pick.
Unfortunately, you're not getting the two first-round picks you would have got easily, even a year ago.
Yeah, so you might get a player plus a pick.
But even the first-round pick that may come right now, it's a back of first-round.
But that's their only option into the draft at the minute, isn't it?
Because they've traded so many picks away.
So
there's only a few players in the whole league that aren't tradable. The landscape has changed. Just about everyone is these days.
Would you do it, Joey?
I wouldn't. No, I'd keep Jordan DeGoey. I'd need him in my corner. If I'm going to rebuild, I need DeGoey and Maynard and Darcy Moore. You need those players to build around.
X factor. That's X-factor. What he has.
Hey, next question. Do you think Geelong can still win the premiership in 2021?
Yes.
Good one.
Yep.
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 Yeah, don't write them off. They're playing much better than people are giving them credit for.
I'll tell you what they have got, Joey. I had a close look at them because the reason why I had a close look at them, or having a close look, because it's a grand final replay this week.
Yes.
There are a number of players, Dangerfield's not playing, but there are a number of players that didn't perform really great on that day, especially in the second half. They had a great first half, as we know. But when you come up against that team for the first time the next year, and I don't care, and I know you guys have been in that situation. I don't know. There's got to be something that eats away at a few of them, and I'm really waiting for a response from the Cats. It means nothing to Richmond because they won it.
Yeah.
But I reckon there'll be a few Cats that want to put their best foot forward.
Speaking of going back to the well, I'll ask you this one, Daisy. Should Chris Scott put Collar Jasny back on Dusty Martin and tag him again? Or is that almost, in some ways, a bit, I'm not saying cruel, but is it cruel. Should he do it again?
Absolutely.
You think yes? You give the kid another chance to say, or is it a bit like,
I reckon you go and ask him, and if I was coach, and I'm probably a bit soft to be a coach, but I would go, do you want the challenge again? And I reckon you could just give it to me honestly. Do you want the challenge again? And because he might
be. No player's going to say no.
Oh boy!
No, you want it.
I got told. Yeah. No, but like you're going to play in the side, son. Do you want the challenge to go, or do you think that for the team it's best if we go with someone else?
You got to say to him, you're on him.
What happens if he kicks another? If he's best on and kicks five, and is the difference again?
Oh, then you never play him on him.
Hey, Duck. Last question. This is a little bit left field, but I just want to have a little chat about this. I want to ask you this one, Rob. Most other sports in the world have a challenge system where you can challenge a decision on the field. NRL, NFL, basketball, cricket, tennis. Do you think it's time we at least consider it in AFL that either a captain or the coach or the ump can review a decision rather than just a score in the game of football?
I read that this was your view, Joey, and I must admit it pricked the ears. And I don't mind it.
Thank you.
I don't mind it.
We've had so many rule changes.
I mean, why not bring in something like that that can have a significant impact, especially as we've seen this year. There's been two or three really big late situations where the game would have been completely different if you had that choice.
So the one on the weekend, it goes the required distance. So they'll need technology. How long is that going to take? You review it, you go upstairs, you wait 5 minutes to get the response, and then the game's...
Yeah, ideally you're not going to wait five minutes, are you? But we will stop the game for a minute, minute and a half during quarter one to wait to see if a ball was a point or if it was paid a mark. So we're prepared to do it for that. Why wouldn't we do it for an important decision inside and the Joey, last minute of a close game?
I guess that's the tricky part of it as a captain. Did you guys ever captain? Oh, no, but I did. Anyway, so
drawn under 12s.
As a captain, I would have had the call. But when do you...
But you when were reviewed three of your missed goals earlier, you selfish
exactly,
bastard.
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say mine goes just near the post. Oh, I want to review that. No. When
you're
when
like,
would
you're
you,
like Shane Watson when he used to challenge every LBW decision straight.
When would you use it? That's the big question. Would you actually just always keep it until late in the game for a big decision? You probably would. You wouldn't want to use it early. So it would always be something late in the game, I would have thought.
Well, I like it, Joey. I think it's a good left field question. I love it when the NFL coaches throw their handkerchief out and stamp their foot under the ground. And I like the idea. I can't see it working with the technology we've got right now, but I think we should work toward it.
The Tom Hawkins point in the grand final where he booted it off into the pole.
Yep.
Like you'd use it then.
Counted off it, didn't it?
That was only quarter two or quarter three, was it not? So
that was our grand final. Thanks, Dave. So that was another one we were real stiff.
You've been really good in those duck dive questions. I reckon the week off is really.
I did. I had plenty of time during the week just
because the
sit
week before was horrible. I was asking about Zupa Dupas.
Yeah, we did.
Very good. Hey, we want to take a look at the games this weekend and get your previews. And I'm curious, seeing I wasn't here, to see how all your certainties went from last week.
This is the Midweek Rob.
Don't worry about me running out of material either.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusively on the Listener app. Before we get into this weekend's games, obviously I wasn't here last week, boys, so I just want to take a listen to who your certainties were and how you went.
I'm going to make my certainty one of these two teams. I'm prepared to say that the fact that Dusty isn't playing, I'm prepared to tip the Bulldogs.
I'm going to have the Power as my best of the weekend.
Ooh.
Yep. Yes. I just think the Power is still underrated by so many of us over here because they're an Adelaide team.
I'm going to make my certainty the Cats to beat the Swans. Can I do that? Are you going to give me a pass mark on that?
Absolutely.
Boy. There's 18 beers that have just come into the kicker. That's beautiful. Done. I like that. Very good. Right. Daisy, you've been sticking it up a little bit the last couple of weeks.
Let's not dwell on that.
All right. Let's look ahead to this weekend's game.
This is a boys' trip, not just the boys' day.
I'm not even Duck could drink all these beers that we're going to have.
Duck's still there. Duck, come back. I'm here.
Okay. Let's have a look at a couple of games this weekend. Let's start with the grand final rematch from last year. Can anyone see Geelong beating Richmond? I know Duck, you already think they can. Yep.
I'm going to go with the Cats.
As your certainty?
Yep.
I like it.
Cats as your certainty. Lock it in.
Oh, good.
Oh, actually, I'm with you there, Duck.
Nice, brave call.
I think the Cats will win too. I think they're going better than people are giving them credit for at the moment.
I think the Tigers will win, but I am a horrific tipper, so.
I'm with the same. You really want my tip? Yeah, I'm going for the Cats as well. So
it is a very hard year to do tipping, though.
Yes, it is.
There's me out. Thank you.
All right, just quickly, Duck, before you get going, I know you've got some busy things to do this afternoon in Adelaide. So the Gold Coast Suns, you're a big rap for them.
Why does everyone think that I don't do anything?
Because you don't?
I'm very busy.
Cool. Like, I've said, it's a fascination of me what you get up to on any given week, and I would love to just know what it is you do on even half of any given day.
You are looking sharp, so you must be doing something. Hey, the Suns, you were a big rap for them last week against the Pies. Can they beat St Kilda this week?
Oh, good, very good question. I think they can. I reserve the right to change this, but right now I'm going to go with the Suns.
I'm going to give the Suns as my best of the weekend.
Oh, Daisy, beautiful. All right, eh? You think Gold Coast will beat St Kilda?
I think St Kilda, they either win by 60 or lose by 80. So hopefully this week is the one they lose by 80.
I think the Saints will win.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Saints. So I'm just going to give them one more chance now they've got back onto the winner's list.
What's your certainty, Damo? Which game?
Is this fair enough if I go for the Dogs over the Blues? There's enough evenness around that game.
I'm going to take that one, but I'll give you that.
I was going to take
the Dogs, but you can have it. So the Dogs, you're confident, will beat the Blues?
Yeah, I'm confident they'll bounce back from their, in the end, lackluster showing against the Tigers last week, the Dogs.
Yep. I think the Dogs will win as well. Yep, everyone's on the Dogs here. All right, then I'll go the last game. I think Melbourne will continue their winning ways. They'll beat the Sydney Swans. I know the Swans have been very good, but if you look at the numbers, they should have got touched up well and truly by Geelong last week. I think they were lucky to win that one. Buddy might be back. Damo, any update on Buddy?
There's a chance. I mean, they've said that certain players have had 6 and 7 week injuries and they've come back in 1 or 2 and Buddy's in that zone. He's a chance.
All right. Well, even if Buddy plays, I still think Melbourne are my certainties.
All right.
All right,
boys.
Duck, I know you're busy. You got to go, mate.
Oh, thanks for coming in, Duck.
Duck's off.
Just one more, Duck, before you go.
He's actually gone.
Did we record that?
What
screen?
About the big grin on his face as he just walked out? He's got a busy day ahead of him over in South Australia. Hey, thanks for joining us, Damo and Daisy. Again, of course, don't forget you can listen to every game across Round 8 on Triple M, starting with Friday night's blockbuster, the grand final rematch from 6 p.m. with Howie Darss, Jace Dunstall, Brownie, Damien Barrett and Ash Chua. Thanks for joining us for another edition of the Midweek Rub.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M! Triple M rocks footy.